interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crone, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a beautiful August 9th TGIF edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, touching off live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love joined by Ruffin Rodri. You came in singing the Rat Pack. You always are, but you look like you're having a great time today. How could you not be?
Man, it's just, you know, and actually it was Neil Diamond, I think. I was Ben Love on the Rocks. Ain't no big surprise. Pour me a drink and I'll tell you some lies. But I was, old Neil Diamond, you know. Most people know Neil Diamond from the Sweet Caroline, which I can play on my trumpet.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. I played the trumpet when I was in junior high. East Thibodeau Junior High Spartans.
Yeah.
Bring it down right here. Oh, there we go. East Thibodeau Junior High Spartans. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
Oh, my song must have sounded terrible.
We could sing again.
Yeah.
That'll never be a problem. Let me tell you what also isn't a problem. Good news coming the way of Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns, and it struck twice today. Let's lead with that. We got a little sound on it, then I'm going to get your take. But first off, Braden Hawkins, transfer quarterback, cleared by the NC2A, eligible to play this season. He's 6'4", 225. CD, why don't we do this? This will give a flavor for both Ruffin and myself, as well as our listeners. Billy Napier met with the media today. His reaction on what this means, Levi Lewis still, I think, projected as their starter, but suddenly a huge athlete and a guy that's played major college football, eligible to go.
He's speaking about Braden Hawkins recently. His waiver got approved. We kind of anticipated maybe that would happen. That was a positive for him and certainly our team. Braden is a young quarterback that came over this summer. We've been giving him maybe one rack of team and one rack of 7-on-7. It certainly will increase his reps a little bit going forward. And that gives him another year of eligibility. You know, he's got a true 4 years to play instead of just having three. So certainly increases the competition for that at that position, which I think will benefit our team. We look forward to working with him and seeing how good he can get.
More good news. Ruffin for the Raging Cajuns. They got another quarterback eligible this year. He'll have the full complement of four here in Lafayette now. Things just keep coming up roses right now for Billy and company.
Man, it's amazing what he's done. And the first thing he's done, I can tell the audience out there, and some of the UL people are shocked, but Billy has embraced the other schools in the state, whereas before every coach didn't and fought and made this whatever it was between LSU and Southeastern and, this bitter, especially LSU, this bitter deal. Why? Man, the state of Louisiana is plentiful and nourished with the best talent ever. And, I mean, I was just at the Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame, and three guys from Louisiana got in the same year. You know, Ed Reed, Kevin Mawai, and Johnny Robinson. And I'm just sitting there going, I mean, the talent in this state is crazy. And why you'd share it. And the best recruiter in the world is sitting as the head coach in Baton Rouge right now. And who can help Billy more than him is nobody. He will help because they're friends. And that's huge. And for Billy to go get this guy who could have gone basically a lot of schools.
Well, he did. He started off at a couple of other places. Now, we're talking about Braden Hawkins. I think maybe what you're alluding to, and let's get that news to our listeners as well. This is fresh off the presses in the last 25 minutes. Trey Amos plays for Catholic New Iberia. Just a flat-out winner. I mean, the kid has helped lead the Panthers to two straight state title game appearances. They won one of them. You may remember, Ruffin, kid came out of that program maybe 6 years ago. Jason Pellerin, full ride, quarterback to Ole Miss. The coach at Catholic New Iberia says this kid is the best athlete he's ever had. That includes Pellerin.
Yeah.
And he committed to Billy Napier in the Raging Cajuns. Again, like I said, last 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's – look, when you put together a coaching staff the way Billy has here, starting off with his buddy Rob Sale. And Rob's one of the best recruiter of coaches and players of anybody. I mean, he's a young Ed Orgeron type. It's infectious. And you pick up Jabbar DeLuke, and you pick up, that Holiday, the guy that I'm losing my train of thought, but all the coaches, but I forget their names. They're all great recruiters, all of them. He doesn't have anybody on his staff that's not. And because you always have one guy here, LSU son, Jerry Sullivan, doesn't like to recruit and this and that. All of them like to recruit.
Yeah.
And when you have that kind of family atmosphere and you got a town as beautiful and as wonderful as the people of Lafayette, you're going to get people here. All you have to do is be kind and show them it's a family. He's going to build a big, huge deal here, man. It's going to be fun to watch.
So there's one quarterback that was already in the boat. Now he's eligible. Amos, I think, probably projects more as a cornerback at the next level. What I can tell you is this. That's now 15 commits for Napier and the Cajuns in the class of 2020. They've all come during the summer months, so it's been a huge rush late. They weren't like Ed and them that had 10 in the boat by the time you got to May. They've made their hay recently, and it's now the number one class in the Sun Belt, number 72 overall by the 247 Sports Composite. This would be two straight years of getting that done. Number one in the conference.
Man, and look out, this year, it was the coach that they stole from Mississippi State. He's on the staff. That's what I was talking about, because I was at Ruffino's in Baton Rouge today, and there was a big, huge Mississippi State fan there, and I was telling him about if he's going to the game. He said, oh, yeah, and I said, y'all are 24-point favorites. I said, I'm not a gambling man, but I may be that day and put a bunch on the Cajuns. I'm like, that's kind of crazy. And he's like, yeah, well, the depth, and, talks about the depth. That's how they beat these teams. And we talked about that. But, man, depth won't matter if you go up on them pretty early and you freak them out. Because, look, teams play at others' level in the beginning when they get in the game.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State's not going to be psyched up and ready.
11 a.m. away from home.
11 a.m. You won't have that many people in Superdome. You'll have a bunch of Cajuns in one side, but the upper deck won't be – it won't be like a LSU or Saints game.
State is deservedly favored. I don't know by that much, but they deserve to be favored by double-digit points, no question. But it's not an impossible dream. LSU fans listening are shaking their head up down. Troy came to Baton Rouge and got it done. South Al's going to Mississippi State and got it done. Troy won last year, I believe, at Nebraska. I mean, it's not an impossible dream for a team that's starting over at quarterback on the defensive line. If you're a Cajun fan, you want that one to get weird. To your point, you want it to get chaotic early.
Yes, you want it to get chaotic early. You want to score early, and Billy's going to have something up his sleeve with the talent that he has. And, look, depth is going to be a problem on the line of scrimmage in the fourth quarter. But if you're up, a couple of touchdowns, it doesn't matter. So hopefully we can shock them that hard.
You had one up the sleeve for me, brother. I didn't anticipate you today. What I do know is this. We're going to talk to some great guests. In our next segment, Josh Fontenot, head football coach at Southside High, their debut season roughing in varsity football. Only 2.5, 3 years old, that school, over in Youngsville. And already they're 5A.
One of the fastest growing cities in,
it's incredible.
In the state.
They've got their media day, that program. So before that, hey, we're going to jump the shark. Josh Fontenot joins us at 4:15. At straight up 5 o'clock, one of the few guys I'll bring in this program that definitely has a better voice than me, and his verbiage calling a ball game is out of this world, Lynn Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
A Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. So Lynn coming your way at 5 o'clock. And then Tyler Barr is going to join us here at 5:30. He is the GM and assistant coach of the Louisiana Drillers, hockey in Lafayette.
Nice. Hockey's back.
The people in this town know it well.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, one of my biggest servers here at Ruffino's, Steve Wusso, came to me with me. He's been with us 16 years. He came with me from Baton Rouge when we opened here 5 years ago, and he came because of the Kingfish. And
yes.
To follow them. And he went to every single game. He is a staple, so he's going to be I'm sure he's pumped up.
So we got to max out the space. We only get 2 hours today. Those pesky Astros, they need to play ball. So we'll let them do that at 6. But between now and 6, Josh Fontenot, Ben Rollins, Tyler Barr, joining yours truly and Ruffin Rodriguez. We'll be right back in to Ruffino's on the River. You're dialed in to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Time for a little shark attack on the program. Let's quickly reintroduce ourselves. Ben Love, I'll be joined momentarily by Ruffin Rodriguez. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, and waiting for us aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, head coach of the Southside Sharks football team. It's Josh Fontenot. Coach, I know you've got media day coming up at 5. Thanks for helping us get reacquainted with the Sharks even before that.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Always love being on the show, man.
Well, give us a little bit of a taste. You got to transition from your summer workout program. Now the kids are out there putting the pads on, getting ready for the first varsity season. What's the first week plus been like?
First week's been really good. We can't put pads on until Monday, but our summer was great. Our attendance was high. It's always going to be better. But we were very, very satisfied. We did a max out week this week along with some just helmet practices. You can tell, and the most exciting thing for me, or the most comforting thing, is the boys up their level of intensity, their level of focus and concentration at practice. They get it. They understand that this is not games for fun like we did last year. This is it. This is real. We've been waiting 2 years for this, and they're preparing both mentally and physically the best that they can right now. I'm pretty happy with the whole group.
I know that it's Notre Dame in the Jamboree and then the season opener against the Northside Vikings. Remind me who you had maybe for a scrimmage leading in and I guess how you start to prepare for some of those guys.
We're going to scrimmage Westgate, which is a good test for us. Westgate had a great year last year, always well coached, always had some great football players. So the matchups that we got in the preseason really, I think, help us to prepare for what's ahead. You have a spread type atmosphere that you're going to get out of Westgate, a lot of speed that we'll see in our district. And then when you go to the Notre Dame, you have a power, physical, tough run game, tough defense that we'll have to face also in different opponents in our district. So our boys will get two previews of what it's going to be like for the rest of the season. So if you had to pick a perfect one, for me, this is it. You get two different versions of what you need to prepare for.
Talking now with the head coach of the Southside Sharks, Josh Fontenot. And every time you've been on this show, we talk about your Dylan Monette, not the cat that continues to rush for thousands of yards over at Acadiana High. But remind our listeners of what that young man has put in, the work, and some of the things you expect from him in his junior season.
The thing that he did this summer that I thought that impressed me so much is we finally got to sit down, he and I and the three other quarterbacks, and get on the board and have some meeting time. And we've just been so rushed. A lot of things that we do feel rushed here because the routine is still being created. Now, we've gotten better. We've gotten to where we're now in a routine. The practice schedule that we have and the rhythm goes really good. So that's calmed down. But for Dylan, we got to sit on the board and take notes and analyze all the plays that we thought were our base plays and put those into action as far as, okay, I know this play, I know where everybody's going, but how do I know where to throw it? Who's open? What is open and not open? Where do I set the protections? So Dylan takes that, and unlike most kids at that age, he really studies that stuff, and he gets into it, and he can recite it back to me. And one of the things we do with our starters and our older guys, when they're not taking the reps, they're coaching the first group, the second group. And I always tell them, if I have to coach, there's something wrong. Meaning I want them to be able to teach the guys behind them what to do, because I really believe if you can teach it, then you really know it. So until those guys can teach the scheme or the plan or whatever we're doing, then I don't think they really know it. Our guys are finally buying into that, of taking their backup or the freshman guy behind them and showing them and teaching them what to do. Dylan has really grasped that. So the leadership, the knowledge of what we're trying to get done, I think is add that to his physical ability. We're expecting a good year out of Dylan. I know Dylan expecting a good year. He always does.
Offensively, as you well know, Coach, that's something that you do, and you attack other people. Defensively, you have to be ready for what somebody throws at you. It's very reactionary. So some of the guys who will be reacting and then maybe kind of bringing their own lumber on the defensive side.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad sometimes. You know, like anytime you get interviewed, I'm, you know, like I said, I do offense and I've always done it and kind of lean towards that. But the guys on the defensive side of the ball have put in as much work as anybody. Coach Brian Gary, the defensive coordinator, he does a great job. You're going to see a young defense. You know, we're young all across the board, honestly, but defensively especially. We've got some experience or some older guys in the secondary, but guys like Cully Holden and Trent Gilbert, we expect some big plays out of them. Cully's one of our inside linebackers. Trent is our nose guard. Trent's going to be a really, really special player, we think. Riley David is a kind of our Mr. Consistent on the outside. May not make all the plays, but, you know, sets the edge for us and plays with a level of energy that is kind of contagious. Caden Kelly is another outside linebacker that does the same thing. Jake Hill, the young guy in the secondary that has a lot of potential. Dawson Doucette's kind of been back there since the beginning with us. Like I said, no game experience, but knows everything. Has been coached like a varsity guy for 2 years now and can take that into the game. Red Pelican, we've talked about him a lot. He's Mr. Consistency. He's Mr. Both ways for us. He's kind of the old Iron Man guy. He's going to take over 100 snaps a game with 50 on both sides of the ball. So some big responsibility for those guys. You know, our offensive philosophy sometimes can be hard to play defense behind. We try to go fast and you know, when we can run the ball consistently, it's a little easier. But we know who we want to be. But until it gets in action on Friday night, we're still going to figure that out. So.
Getting a preview of the Southside Football Media Day with Sharks head coach Josh Fontenot and 103.7 The Game. All right, we went offense, defense. When it comes to special teams, if I'm not mistaken, you might just have one of the best kickers in the area, if not the state.
Yeah, man, Braxton is – we're excited. We were talking about this earlier with another interview, and I got to change my mindset. I hadn't been around an area where or a team that when I get inside a 25-yard line, I don't have to go for it. You know, now we can start kicking field goals. I already have a coach assigned to that. Like, okay, it's fourth down on fourth and 10 from the 20. You don't have to try to – get it in the end zone. You know, you don't have to try to get that first down on those really, really hard fourth downs. We can kick a field goal now and have a really good chance. We're pretty confident with Braxton. You know, when we get the ball to the 25-yard line, in my mind, field goal comes into play. And we could probably stretch that. You know, different times of the game. You could probably, you know, 30, 47 yards, 45 yards. He can make those. But consistently, when the ball's on the 25, you know, you're looking at a 42-yard field goal. That's something that actually we feel pretty confident in.
Coach, before we let you go, I know you got media day coming up. I've been mentioning that. I don't know who's coaching the kids up to talk, but I figure as long as it's not Brad Boyd, they're probably in good hands.
We let Brad do a lot of things, but you got to be careful what you let him do. You know, he's going to – he wants to be our hype man. And, you know, he has –
now, that part he can do.
Yeah, he has his Ric Flair routine. So I might just let him come in the locker room and give some pregame speeches and let him promo the team. You know, I might just send him to you once a week and he can talk about what we're doing in football. He might not know a play, but he'll talk us up pretty good.
That's not bad, but you and I know there's some men you give an inch, they will take a mile.
Yeah, I can't let him call plays.
Right?
Yeah, I can't let him call plays. He wants to, but I can't let him do it, man.
Coach, thanks for taking time out. I know you got a busy afternoon. We'll catch up soon.
Appreciate it.
That's Josh Fontenot, Southside High Football. And here's the drill. You listen to my show. You've been here long enough. You understand. We usually push high school football to the 6 o'clock hour. Don't have that luxury today. We're out of here at 6 for the Stros. So always great to catch up when we can with local football coaches. We've been doing it all summer long. And, Clint, before we hit a break, you know, the only real shame, you and I had a feeling, I think it was actually kind of known and put out there, that Trey Amos was going to be committing soon from Catholic New Iberia. that's part of the reason that Tuesday we originally were scheduled to talk with Brent Indes, head coach of the Panthers. Just didn't quite work out that day. It wasn't in the cards, but, boy, that would have been timely, huh?
That would have been amazing to kind of have Brent Indes on Tuesday. Then you see Trey Amos. Next thing you know, he commits on a Friday. But, honestly, like I said, sometimes just things go the way they go, you know?
Well, that's quite poetic and philosophic and a perfect end to this segment. When we return, we're going sink or swim. I want to talk rookie quarterbacks. We saw three of them last night in the first week of the preseason. There's one that'll go later in the weekend. I want to talk best of the rookie QB. So buckle up. There's more Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you. We are live from Rufino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
33 minutes after 4 o'clock, living our best Friday life and thrilled to spend it with you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. All right, Clint, we've got a touch of good news, bad news. I'll let you pick which one you want first.
You know, I just feel like getting the bad news out of the way, Ben, so why not just get that one out of the way first?
I'm a bad news first cat, too. No Tyler Barr. And so we thought we were going to have some Louisiana Drillers infusion into the program. Tyler's not going to be able to make it today, so we'll get it back on the books. But ask me about the good news.
All right, go ahead. I'm really wanting to know what the good news is, because like I said, you bring such of a downer. Now, my big question to you is, was Tyler barred from joining the show?
That's the worst pun ever. You aren't allowed to talk for the rest of the segment. The great news is that I'm still at Rufino's on the River, and Ruffin is back with me. I think he's going to dig this question as well. So let's play the music. We'll get down to the meat of the matter.
Dance. 12 years old, man. I was 12 years old, 13, 14.
Can you believe
at my
house, I hear
Thibodeau
that,
watching Captain Steubing and
I hear that song every day of my Isaac. Life at 4:30 p.m. Every day that song plays, and then I ask a question, and we talk about sports. Am I doing it right, or am I just crazy?
You're doing it right.
Okay, just checking. But it always leads us to the sink or swim question of the day, and that's where the Love Boat theme comes in. Which rookie quarterback will have the best NFL career? Last night, you got to see Kyler Murray with the Cards, Daniel Jones with the Giants, Dwayne Haskins with the Redskins, and later this weekend, Drew Locke with the Denver Football Broncos. You like any of those four better than the rest? You into the
– Kyler.
You like Kyler?
Yeah, he's a bright, bright, bright kid. He's a lot like Russell
– Wilson?
Wilson.
Yeah.
And he can read defenses. He can run. He can do it all. And you know, he is short, but so is Drew Brees.
And, so is Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. And the key is finding that good center and two guards that can create a pocket for you to step up in the pocket and make the throw. Get a good tight end. Get a big basketball playing tight end, 6 foot six. You know, draft Stephon Sullivan, and you know, get it to him in those crucial situations. So that's. I mean, the game is about timing, and when you got a guy that's smart enough to understand it and get the touch pass to those guys, I think Kyler Murray is one of those guys, and I think he'll have a great career.
I'm going to give my answer, but it's so interesting that you just mentioned Stephon Sullivan. You remember a guy who came in, it might have been the same year, Jazz Ferdinand. Jazz, as we know, flunked out of LSU. Ended up at Northwestern State, and now he is legitimately competing for a starting spot with the Seahawks. Is that crazy?
Yeah, he's good. No, Jazz was one of the better athletes out of high school. I mean, he played quarterback. He did everything. He was an amazing athlete. And but look, man, the thing is some people don't like school and don't like class and don't like. Could be ADD, could be...
And that's not exclusive to athletes.
Yeah, it could be... I mean, look, a lot of people just don't like school. And, you know, and a lot of it has to do with confidence. And like I said, it could be a condition he has. I wasn't that great. You know, we didn't have ADD, ADHD when I was in school, but I definitely had it. And I, you know, later on I found out, but I always wondered why I read the same paragraph 15 times in a row before I just couldn't study that well. So I got into business and I was good at math and all that. But when it came to, or, you know, doing the reports, and it was just hard for me. And I got through, obviously, and graduated from LSU. But, you know, when you got a guy that just, look, I had a lot of teammates just didn't like, you know, Eric Andelsek, one of the best linemen in history, one of the smartest guys I know. He just hated school, just wasn't very good at it, didn't have any confidence in it. And
got by.
Yeah, got by and did what he could. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Some guys are just meant to be football players.
And it helps to have some of those guys like a Stephon Sullivan, like a Jazz Ferguson. I do like the Kyler Murray pick just for the sake of not going down the same well. I'm kind of keen on Dwayne Haskins. He's got a chance, if Darius Geis can stay healthy, to be a pretty formidable duo in the backfield for the Washington Redskins. So Haskins is in a spot where they need a guy. He had a phenomenal season, first-year starter at Ohio State. Those guys don't always work out, right? The guys that sit, wait their turn, play 1 year, and then they're off to the pros. But, boy, I think when you have that type of arm, you can make it.
And the bottom line is also you got to mesh with the coordinator. And,
yep.
You know, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, you know, Belichick and Brady and head coach. And, you know, it's a mesh. And a lot of great quarterbacks played for bad coaches. And, you know, my roommate in college, Tommy Hodson. Tommy was as smart and as poised as any quarterback I know. And he went to the New England Patriots when they were owned by Gillette. Robert Kraft hadn't bought them yet. And they were just awful, woeful organization. And he went there, and it ruined his career. Because the coach, they didn't have any coaches. They didn't have anything. And if Tommy would have gotten drafted by San Francisco in the next pick, which they were planning on drafting him, he would have been behind – Montana and Young.
Oh, wow. And obviously Bill Walsh.
It'd have been a different story.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it goes with drafts and all that. So,
well, we got some time for more selections. Call us up. Let us know. 706-0111. Your rookie QB pick to click. CD, while we wait, give us yours.
You know, to me, I'm probably going to wind up going with Kyler Murray just based off everything that I saw last night. Sure, he's not throwing passes up the middle like everybody's been talking about. But at the same time, I feel like with the system that he's going to be in with Cliff Kingsbury for the long term, I think he's going to wind up having the best career out of all four of them. I'm not necessarily sold on Daniel Jones. Dwayne Haskins didn't look great. I'm not sold on him. I wasn't sold on him from Jump Street before last night, but I feel like you look at Kyler Murray and what he was able to do last night, he looked a little bit better than most. Sure, he wasn't 5 for 5 like Daniel Jones was, but I feel like Murray has a lot more to him, and we're going to see what happens with him when it actually matters and the games actually matter.
So much pressure to play quarterback in New York, in particular for the Giants. In some ways, I think Sam Darnold's got it a little easier, right, than Daniel Jones coming in. They hope. Dave Gettleman and company hope that he's the heir apparent to Eli Manning. And we'll find out. And another guy that I mentioned here, we're not giving any love to him yet. If I recall, before this season, Drew Locke was seen as a top 5 overall pick. All right, he ended up going early second round to the Denver Broncos. Ruffin said it's nice to play for a coach when you kind of get the vision. Well, it's nice to play for an organization as well that's led by John Elway. And so I'll continue to tell you, and you know what, I was wrong about one thing. My apologies. Denver did play last night. It was just late night, and I didn't see it. But Drew Locke, 17 of 28, 180 yards, a touchdown, and an interception, but he was sacked 3 times. But Locke's got an opportunity. Denver has been just an absolute, I mean, turnstile of quarterbacks since Peyton Manning left. But let's see if this kid Locke might just catch on. All right, we're going to take our final break of the hour. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the specials we've got going on at Ruffino's on the River, including, well, the always delicious month of August because it means lobsters. That and some LSU training camp talk as well. Stick with us. B2BS, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back to Ruffino's on the River and celebrating life with you on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Right back in it on a Friday, celebrating life, having fun, and getting ready for the weekend at Ruffino's on the River. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love joined again by Ruff and Rodri. We haven't touched a stitch of LSU football yet. Billy Napier keeps bringing in kids, the latest.
Billy's a hot topic right now, man.
Not just in this city either.
You know, he's got all over the place, man. He's got the Cajuns as a hot deal right now. I love that 23.5 point line that's going to come out. Nobody knows, but I know because of Jimmy's got Bruce Marshall who sets the line, so he let Jimmy know. And 23.5. That's crazy. Let's get all over the Cajuns, man. Right when it comes out, let's just jump on before it goes down.
Flood the market. We may send it down.
Yeah, we probably will. I think everybody in the market will. There's no way.
I'll go a little bit into LSU while we got you here and our listeners. Don't forget, Lynn Rollins joining in about 15 minutes. Do you get bent out of shape at all about these injuries in camp? I mean, some of it's got to be just rest as well, right?
Heat, man. It's 107 degrees outside. And, you know, we went through it, but I was a 280-pound guard. We didn't have anybody over 300. You got guys, you got linebackers 260, and you got offensive linemen 340. I mean, it's just some big boys that the heat really gets to. So they're trying just to conserve. I mean, you got 3 weeks left to the season, so they're going to get them in shape. The thing is also they want to get them mentally prepared for blitz pickups on offensive line, what to do on defense. I mean, you really get to get the mental game down. They don't have Devin White anymore.
Yep.
So they need a leader on defense. You have Lloyd Cushberry, who's the best center to play for LSU in a long time. And, you know, he's a three-star out of Gonzalez. And what a player. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal having a center like that. So, but the injuries, you know, Chasson, look, he's just coming off a knee injury. You just got to watch what he does. And who's the other one?
They've been missing Fulton at cornerback. Yeah. And there's one other. Everyone's just flooding message boards and talk shows like this one.
Yeah, well, Christian Fulton's my favorite new player. My new favorite player.
Tell me why.
Because the Advocate had Tiger Rag had something with, they said what was their favorite restaurant. And they all said, like, Raul's Deli or something. And then Christian Fulton said, well, I ate at Ruffino's recently. That was really good.
Got a little class to him.
So I'm like, my new favorite player, Christian Fulton. Love
He's
him.
Also, by the way, your guy Fulton, if I'm not mistaken, is now going to be wearing the number one jersey.
Oh, wow.
There was a cornerback kid from Scotlandville Magnet who was at LSU. I think it's Kelvin Joseph, maybe. And now he's in the transfer portal. So that number came open. Your number one is going to be wearing number one.
That's awesome. What a great kid. I'm so glad he got a chance. I mean, that whatever happened was just crazy for the two-year suspension or whatever it was. It's just I hope they change that rule because I met his parents. And I was like, you know, you can meet somebody's parents. You know if they're a good kid or not. His parents were first class. And I'm like, this kid's a good kid. I'm so glad he got his eligibility back.
We talk a lot on this show about the coaches LSU struggles to keep because they're hot commodities. What do you know and love about Corey Raymond? And for reference sake, Brandon Taylor came on the show earlier this week and said, I've known Corey since I was a sophomore in high school over at Franklinton. He's one of the sharpest minds I've ever met.
Corey, you know, obviously I played with Corey. He came in from New Iberia in 87. I think I was a sophomore when Corey came in, and we instantly became really good friends. And just a class act. Great technician. I remember Corey just had amazing technique. Wasn't a blazing speed and all that, but he had quickness and technique, and one of the better cornerbacks I've played with. And he's an amazing coach. Amazing because he studies the game and his recruiting abilities, and He's so laid back, man. Nothing phases him. Watch him during the game. It's, you know, he doesn't celebrate a lot. He doesn't get mad a lot. He's always thinking. He's always planning. And that's what Dave Aranda loves.
He's talking about Raymond. He's the first one that I ever saw pull this trick I'm about to describe. I remember going out to cover practices. I think Badgers freshman year would have made it 2010, but Patrick Peterson was there, Mo Claiborne, all these guys that are in NFL right now. And he literally had blinders on him. And so these guys had tape, I mean black tape, thick tape, that basically went from the outside of their eyes, covering the rest of their helmet.
Wow.
So he put blinders on these guys in practice. And the theory makes perfect sense. When you get in the game and then all of a sudden you got your whole peripheral, holy hell, you could see everything.
Yeah.
He had these guys making plays just literally eyeball to eyeball.
I mean, that's fun to watch, you know, especially when you see players really appreciate and love their coach. You don't always see that. And that's what I love about this staff, just like the UL staff, the offense and defensive staffs are great friends. And when you have that mesh, you know, they didn't have it with Matt Canada and Aranda. So you replace him, you bring in Brady, and Brady is – everybody's friend. I mean, it's just a fun environment to be around. It's fun to watch these kids, and they're loaded, man. They got some serious talent. Feel
you told me before on this program, Ben Love, joined by Ruffin Rodriguez, that Steve Ensminger, when you were growing up, certainly one of your favorite players. Tell me
my
about
hero,
tell
man.
Me about Steve the player, not the coach.
Well, let's see. Steve played in the late '70s, and I think it was the '79 game or 78 when they played USC.
79, I believe.
And, you know, he and Woodley, David Woodley, who had a great career with the Dolphins, split time. Steve had a cannon. And, you know, Carlos Carson. And, I mean, they had some serious talent on that team. But it was his personality, man. I mean, it was Steve Ensminger, and he was a gunslinger. And I met him for the first time. I went to a function. He was a celebrity deal, whatever. And I was this 12-year-old kid and just starry-eyed and got to meet him. He was, you know, he was so kind to me as a kid. I just thought it was the best thing ever. And he ended up marrying my best friend's cousin. And ended up going to his wedding. And it was just, he was walking down the aisle after they did the vows, and he put his hand on my head and said hello, hi to me. And he's just one of my favorite people of all time. Steve Ensminger's. And the thing is Steve, when I got out of LSU, I knew he coached at McNichol State for a little while. And I was from Thibodaux with Eric Anosek, and I would go work out over there. So I got to know Steve even more over there. And, you know, the thing is he went to Georgia Bulldogs. He was at Georgia with not Bobo. Who was the quarterback? Bobo? No, Eric Zaire.
Eric Zaire, yep.
And Steve was very innovative there and at A&M with his play calling. At A&M, he had R.C. Slocum, so you're limited what you can do. But he was always a great play caller, had a great mind for it. But he wanted to come home. So he went to Auburn for a little while as a tight ends coach and was very comfortable in that role. And then when he came back to LSU with Les, he got his house by his parents in Central. He became became tight ends coach, and he loved life. He's a great recruiter, amazing recruiter, and you know, he loved where he was. And he had been asked before about coordinator position, and he just didn't want it. He didn't want the pressure and the whatever. He enjoyed his life. And when he was thrown into it, you saw what he did. He set records, you know, his first half year or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Missouri, the first game, I mean, they scored up 60 points or whatever. And Steve is a offensive, you know, play. He stays in the game. A lot of coordinators get frustrated, and you gotta be ready to make the next call, right? Well, if you let your emotions get into it, like a Matt Canada, the next call is not going to be a great call because your brain is just flustered. And da-da. The great offensive coordinators don't bitch or complain about that play. They're ready for the next play. It's over. It happened. Can't go back in time. let's get ready for the next play. Those are the best ones.
I always hear about quarterback amnesia. You're right. OCs have to have it as well. CD, quickly, let's get into our final word, and I think Ruffin will enjoy this one.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Ludicrous. I just watched the first edition of Hard Knocks. It's the Oakland Raiders, and Antonio Brown says, hey, I'm not practicing because my foot hurts. I show up to your establishment, Ruffin, on the bottom ticker of the mothership. Antonio Brown says he will hold out if he's not allowed to wear his old helmet. He says currently he's not practicing. Nothing to do with the foot. He just wants to wear his old helmet.
Frostbite? Was he the one with frostbite?
I don't know about that.
The cryotherapy machine?
Okay, yeah, right. So he was...
I've been in the cryotherapy machine.
I did not know that, by the way.
And I can tell you, if you don't wear the right footwear, you're in trouble.
But think about what I'm telling you now. So this guy's got frostbite from a cryo machine, and now he wants to hold out, won't play if he can't wear the helmet he wants. Who is this guy?
Man, pretty good receiver, but wow, what an ego. I don't, you know. Hey, look, man, those guys make so much money. It's another world.
All the best to you, John Gruden. All right, we'll be right back with our second hour. And Lynn Rollin.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Welcome into the final hour of the week. We're ready to finish with a flurry. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, back in and live at Ruffino's on the River on 1037 The Game. Ruffin, he's floating around. He'll be back in later in the hour, but right now, our pleasure to kick off the 5 o'clock hour with one of our favorite guests. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Lynn Rollins. Lynn, happy Friday to you. How are you today?
Ben, thank you so much, and you couldn't be coming from a better spot in Lafayette, that's for sure.
It's beautiful behind me. I know it's hot, but we're having a lot of fun. LSU fans, looking forward to a fun season. And you know as well as I do, the SEC West, always tough. Do the Tigers have the toughest schedule, in your opinion? I know there's some articles that have come out on the matter, but where do you think it ranks this year for Ed Orgeron's crew?
Well, it's certainly among the toughest in the country. Ben, I'm going to play game show host with you this afternoon because I've done a little research today, and I've got some interesting numbers in front of me. Who do you think has the toughest schedule in America this year? I will give you a little hint because six of the top ten come from the SEC.
I would tell you, in my opinion, Texas A&M has the toughest schedule in the country. They're going to play Clemson. They're going to play Georgia, other side of the SEC, and then obviously the West, including Bama and LSU. Three of those four are on the road. That would be my pick.
You are very close, and I couldn't argue with you. Texas A&M is ranked the third toughest schedule. Auburn ranked the second most difficult schedule. LSU ranked the fourth most difficult schedule. Florida, the fifth most difficult schedule, but number one, South Carolina. So you've got South Carolina, Auburn, Texas A&M, LSU, and Florida, 1 through 5, as the most difficult schedules in America. You've got Stanford at number 6. You've got Georgia at number 7. So 6 of the 7 top most difficult schedules belong to SEC teams. And then you've got Southern California, Michigan, and Colorado at number 10. But certainly the gauntlet is there to be run again against the fiercest competition in the country in the SEC.
And right, we've got Ruffin Rodriguez with us now, Lynn. He noticed you didn't say Alabama, right?
Well, Bama, Lynn, how you doing, my man?
Ruffin, it's great to hear from you.
Oh, man, great to hear your voice. Alabama, I mean, it's 56, I think?
Well, listen, I want you to hold on to a chair, Ruffin. I mean, make sure you're strapped in, because I'm going to give you the non-conference opponents for Alabama, and it's going to make you quake in your boots. I mean, it's so difficult. You got Duke. That's a neutral site game. Duke has every opportunity to be the worst team this year in the ACC. You've got New Mexico State, another perennial powerhouse. You've got Southern Mississippi, and you've got Western Carolina. It's hard to name the nicknames of those four teams.
Blue Devils is all I got because of basketball. I mean, it's
And last year Alabama had a donut non-conference schedule and beat its opponents by a total of 162 points. And so that's 40 points on average per win in non-conference games last year for Alabama. They could certainly approach that again this year.
And I just don't, you know, it doesn't sound like a Nick Saban type deal where you remember when I played in the 80s.
Certainly.
I tell you, Miami of Florida, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Texas A&M when they were out of the SEC, North Carolina, the list goes on of the non-conference teams that we played, you know. And that was just in a three-year span. We played USC. The non-conference was out of – it was the time to play. Now you just play one team. We're playing Texas this year. I don't know. If you're going to get fans in a stadium, you got to start scheduling big teams.
Well, I think the collective rise of the overall strength of the SEC and obviously the expansion has had something to do with SEC teams and Alabama in particular among SEC teams scheduling no-name teams away from the SEC. LSU has had some bad non-conference schedules, but I think in the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years, they've made a concerted effort to get at least one Power 5 team in that non-conference schedule. Obviously, this year it's Texas. Texas is a coming team. It's been Oregon in the past. It's been TCU in the past, and on and on. So I think LSU's schedule is better than it was 10 years ago in non-conference. At least there's one marquee name in there, and I think you owe that to the fans. I really do.
Ben Love joined by Ruffin Rodri, get Rafinas on the river, and, of course, our esteemed guest, Lynn Rollins, aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, Lynn, you're in the mood to play game show host. Anything you want to throw our way when it comes to odds of an undefeated regular season?
Okay, Ruffin and Ben, I want you to put your thinking caps on. There were only four teams last year during the regular season. We're not counting postseason. Only four teams in Division I football finished undefeated last year during the regular season. Name those four.
Has to be Alabama and Clemson, right? Both undefeated in the regular season. And
Central Florida.
Yeah, Central Florida played LSU. I'd get those three. I don't know the fourth, Ruffin. You?
Is it in the last 2 years?
No, this is undefeated last year in the regular season. You and I just knocked three out. Lynn, I got no idea about the fourth.
Notre Dame.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's easy to forget, isn't it, because of the Clemson semifinal?
And I love that because
Clemson, of course, just wiped them out in the semifinal. So we fast forward to 2019. Who has the best odds, according to Las Vegas, of finishing? Well, let's start at the bottom. Who's got the tenth? Who is tenth highest in odds? Now it's a high number, but who's number 10 with a preseason odds of finishing undefeated in the regular season? It's on the LSU schedule, by the way, so I'm giving you a big hint.
You're not talking Texas, are you?
It is.
Texas undefeated.
Nebraska.
Wow.
Now it's a 500-1 odd that Texas will finish undefeated in the regular season. Nebraska is 400-1, number 9. Notre Dame is number 8 at 100-1. Of course, Notre Dame plays Georgia, and it also plays Michigan, so those are the two toughest opponents. LSU is seventh at 45-1, with, of course, Texas and Florida and Auburn and Alabama as its most difficult opponents,
Lynn,
as well as the rest of the SEC.
Ruffin and I are putting some money together on the table right now. 45-1 is not bad.
45-1 for LSU to finish undefeated in the regular season.
So hard to beat Bama and Tuscaloosa. That's just a, you know.
I would argue that's their better chance. They haven't scored on them in Tiger Stadium in three tries.
I mean, I just, but the officiating, I mean, don't get me involved in that, but Texas, I think LSU, Lynn, just, I think we overpower them with strength, and we beat them in the fourth quarter.
You've got Ohio State at 40-1, number six. Georgia is 12-1. At number five. Now, it's got Notre Dame, it's got Florida, Auburn, and Texas A&M on its schedule. Michigan, which surprises me, is 9-1. I mean, Michigan seems always to lose a couple of games they're not supposed to in recent years, but they've got Penn State, Notre Dame, and Ohio State as their most difficult opponents. Oklahoma is 7-1 to finish undefeated in the regular season. It's got UCLA, Texas, Iowa State, Baylor, Oklahoma State. Alabama is second with odds of 3-2. And, of course, you've got A&M, LSU, Mississippi State, and Auburn on the Alabama schedule. I agree with both of you how utterly soft the non-conference schedule is for Alabama, but you've got to give them credit for something. Their only regular season loss since week three 4 years ago has been against Auburn. So they have they have performed in the SEC. They've done extremely well against the toughest competition in America. And then Clemson is 3-4 odds with Texas A&M, Syracuse, and South Carolina, probably the most difficult on their schedule. But
Let me ask you a question, because I think you can answer this. Not many people can. I understand Alabama, that statistic. But when you play nobody and you rest your quarterback the whole second half and your offensive line, say you don't have any injuries. So they're, when they get to LSU, they're fresh. You know, it's just that people don't realize what stiff competition does to the legs and to the body and to the injury part. I just think I think it's BS and a travesty that Alabama doesn't play anybody really until LSU every year.
Well, it's an eight game schedule.
Yeah, and they basically, I mean, the SEC, who they play before LSU this year? A&M's their toughest opponent.
They've got A&M, they've got Mississippi State, and they've got Auburn.
Mississippi State
along with LSU as the four best against them.
Yeah. And Auburn's the last game. I'm talking until they play LSU, and it just drives me crazy because, you know, LSU's playing Texas. That's gonna be a brawl. Like we did in Miami last year. You lost Chesaw. You're gonna have injuries. I mean, it just happens when big games happen. And you play a tough schedule, and your legs are, you know, it drives me nuts that Alabama didn't play anybody. They Tua didn't play a second half until he played LSU last year.
That's correct.
And it drives me nuts because I think it's unfair. I really do. I just think they should play competition like everybody else.
And the NCAA mandates that that the non-conference schedule includes a certain level of competition, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's up to the school's discretion. They sell out every game. It's not a revenue issue. Which brings me to another subject. Let me dive off into this. Ben, do we have time?
Oh, yeah. Let it rip.
Okay. How many years, and I get strident about this, how many years have we been talking about the sacred, in quotes, Tennessee-Alabama rivalry, in quotes, as one of the main reasons why we cannot have a balanced and fair schedule in the SEC? That we eliminate the non-conference permanent opponent. You know, this will be the 49th year in a row that LSU has played Florida, which is here nor there, but that's a fact. Okay, so Alabama's supporters and, to a certain extent, Tennessee's supporters and Alabama's influence is a major factor, apparently, because it's up to the schools. They can certainly change their bylaws and certainly can change the schedule. But do you realize you can go 13 or 14 years and not play an opponent in the other division of the SEC? That's a travesty. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Why should they even be in the league? You can go 13 or 14 years and not play them, depending on how the rotation plays out.
And it's been
beyond that, the fact that there is an unequal rotation. And look, I know LSU plays Florida. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not talking about, you know, getting Vanderbilt on the schedule every year or Kentucky on the schedule every year. All I'm talking about is you play your own division once a year, and then you rotate through the entire other division every 4 years or however long it takes. And that way you've got at least level competition, a level playing field over time and you're doing your fans a favor.
Yeah.
But there was a time when Tennessee, Alabama filled the stadium in Tuscaloosa, it filled the stadium in Knoxville, and it was a financial necessity. That hasn't been a reality in a quarter of a century.
And Lynn, you know this. I went to the University of Georgia, LSU Georgia in Athens, Mettenberger year, with a crazy game, high scoring. That was 2012.
Odell fumbled the ball.
That's right. Those two teams aren't going to play between the hedges again until 2025.
That's crazy.
That's Lynn's point. That's
favorite,
almost a decade and a half.
That's my favorite trip. You know what's a travesty, Lynn? You know, and this is when I was an LSU fan before I got to LSU and played. We, as LSU fans, we never got to see Herschel Walker and we never got to see Bo Jackson. To me, that's
amazing.
You know, we didn't play him. And it's just I remember my dad saying, he goes, man, I'd love to see Herschel play. I'm like, they don't play him. I mean, it's just.
Better buy a TV.
You know, yeah, like you say, it's for the fans. You need to rotate it and look, Gainesville is fun, but it's not a great trip every other year. You know, Georgia is a great trip.
My point would be the same whether Alabama's permanent opponents were Florida and Georgia every year. I would still feel the same.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So it's not the concept. It's not the permanent opponent. It's the concept that I'm against. And if LSU played the two weakest teams in the East as permanent opponents every year, I'd still have a big problem with it. So it's not my bleeding purple and gold. It's a looking at. I mean, you have a league, you have the SEC established to provide fair competition and a level playing field, and it's anything but that.
Lynn, it's always a pleasure. I hate to throw it to a break. We're going to do that now. When you get a chance, come down here and join Ruffin and I in person. It'll be even more fun. We'll do it for longer than 15 minutes. I promise you that.
You'll have to have a lot of lasagna ready.
We'll have it, buddy.
The great Lynn Rollins.
Thanks, Lynn.
That was a lot of fun, man. I hate to do this. We are going to hit a quick break. We'll be right back in. You're listening to Bumper Sports, and we'll try to recover from that. I don't know if we'll replicate it, but we'll keep rolling on. And you're listening to 103.7.
Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We are having some fun today, and yeah, I think we'll probably do the same tonight. Come and join us if you get a chance. B2BS back live at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. And that, from Lynn Rollins, was spectacular. And, you know, it's interesting. I had the chance. I know Ruffin's going to rejoin us here. I'll tell him this while I tell you this out in the listening audience. Lynn and I spoke earlier today for about 20 to 30 minutes. This may not surprise you, Ruffin. The conversation, I'll back up. I texted him, can you come on the show today at 5? With Lynn, you don't really get a text back. He calls you, and then you talk for a while, which is awesome because it's Lynn Rollins, right?
Yeah.
We talked to Ben Franklin for the first 10 minutes of the conversation, which he initiated, and he gave me some stories that I never knew, and somehow he related that to college football.
Like the real Ben Franklin?
Oh, yes. Yes, we had a discourse on the real Ben Franklin today.
Wow.
That guy's a wealth of knowledge and about so much more than just football. But
that's awesome.
We lined up a few things that we wanted to talk about, and we touched on a few of them there in the interview. Nowhere in that conversation did I think we were getting around to basically cross-division scheduling. That man feels very seriously about that subject.
Boy, he does. And I do too. It's something the SEC has to do. I'm sure Alabama has a lot to say about it, and who knows what the politics are, but it just drives me nuts that, man, to have the top
seven SEC teams in the top 12 on schedule strength, and for Bama to be 50-something, I mean, come on. I just –
By the way, what are they
supposed to be the best coach of all time.
What would they duck?
You got the number one recruiting classes every year. And you know what they're going to say? Nobody wants to play us. That's BS. There's a lot of teams that want to play you, you know, and have that chance and that fun. Because it's not going to hurt them at the end of the year if you lost to Alabama and you run the table. So, I don't know. It's just – it drives me nuts. I know there's a lot of Alabama fans in Lafayette that I see some, you know, stickers.
How does that happen, by the way?
It's because they're good. People want to – they jump on bandwagons, man. It's just – it's, you know, it's the Roll Tide commercial. It was Nick Saban really using the media. And, you know, it's a – you know, it's a generational thing.
Friends don't let friends become Bama fans in South Louisiana. Is that fair? Can we start a campaign?
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
See what we can do about it. We got a few more minutes left in this segment. Anything else you want to react to? I know we ran out of real estate there.
You know, just the we you know we covered with Billy. I know LSU has a scrimmage tomorrow. I'm going to go to. I think it's closed to everybody, but I'm going to go to. I really got to be honest with you. As a former player, I can't stand practice, and I really don't like scrimmages because it's hot and it's. But my 11-year-old son wants to go, and I'm going to go, and you know, so hopefully have a pretty good report. Yeah,
text me a report on this because as of the last 30 minutes,
I can do so much, but I can
Well, but no, here's the part I'm going to get to. About 30 minutes ago, the media was let in to see today's practice, and Joe Burrow's not there. And so a team spokesman said it's not a big deal, but right now, at least today, Miles Brennan's taking reps with the ones.
He's from the Midwest. He's probably heat stroke. I mean, 107 today, heat index. It's hot, man.
That's pre-humidity factor.
Oh, it's just you can do so much, you know. I mean, like I said, we practiced in really hot temperatures back in the 80s. We didn't have an indoor facility, which I'm sure they're in most of the time because it's just – it's too unbelievably hot, and but they got to get ready for the game. You know, Georgia Southern. Well, I guess Georgia has some pretty hot weather, but I don't know how those kids are going to come down here and play and hydrate.
Well, if you want to think of how it is in Statesboro, Georgia, just think of how it is in Shreveport, I-20 corridor. So yeah. You still get the heat. The humidity is not quite what it is here.
It's hot. You know, coming out to Cajun Field. You know, you know, they're lucky that the Mississippi State's playing the Superdome. I don't think Mississippi State can take it. But, you know, I want to cover that's a big thing with me right now is Ed has been pretty open about injuries. But this year really hasn't. He's been relatively quiet. And, you know, you want your opponents to know so much. And Texas is a big game. You don't want to disclose too much. I mean, you got a game before them, which is good. You know, it's going to be, you know, that I got people calling me every day for Texas tickets. Look at our bartender, Betsy, it's her birthday. They're putting a crown on her.
She talked about finding a little paper tiara.
Y'all want to have fun and come hang out with the best bartender in town at Rufino's. Betsy Zielinski is the best. She's got a personality bigger than anybody, and it's her birthday today. So come wish her happy birthday and have a glass of wine or a cocktail. Come hang out with us.
It's about the best idea I've heard all afternoon.
And it's, hey, air conditioner's kicking, man. It's cool in here. It feels good.
We got to take our midway break in the 5 o'clock hour. We got 30 more minutes to go. We had on the schedule Tyler Barr from the Louisiana Drillers. He's got to take a rain check. So we'll be back. You get more of Ruffin, myself, and we'll take your calls at 706-0111 to celebrate in life at Ravino's on the River. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, Rufino's on the River. Ruffin's a little upset that Clint faded out the rush there.
Modern day warrior.
Man, yeah.
I love Rush. Gordy Rush hates Rush. I don't know if it's because of his name.
Let's go deeper on that subject. How does that happen?
I don't know. Gordy's, you know, Mr. World Traveler, so, you know, he's too big. He's too big to come hang out with me. No, I'm just kidding.
You become a bobsled king.
I tell you what,
he's got
three kids that are unbelievable athletes, and they're young. He's got a daughter. I don't know, but she's six maybe, and she can swim better than 10-year-olds. It's crazy.
We'll keep an eye out. Class of 2028, maybe.
Yeah.
See what's coming down
the
pipeline.
Swimming.
Hey, you know, you and I've gotten this far, and we've had a lot of great guests and great topics. Kind of like when I realized at 4:45, holy crap, we haven't talked LSU football. Holy crap, we haven't talked about the Saints preseason game, and it's coming later. Saints 3-point favorites over the Vikings, and you brought up a great point in the break. When you bet preseason, you're betting
the backup quarterback and the rookies on defense. If you got a good free safety, or you know, it's just in the third and fourth quarter, that's when you have some big plays, you have some pick sixes, and you saw Cleveland last night with the pick six. You know, you have some really talented guys, and you look at the backup quarterbacks and see who's the better one. And you know, I would bet Teddy Bridgewater against. I don't know what Minnesota's backups look like.
I'm looking it up right now.
I don't even know who their starter is.
Isn't that pretty bad? They traded away a lot of their guys a while back. It's Kirk Cousins is their starter.
There you go. Enough said.
And that's the QB1, brother. All right, let's see if I can find this here. The internet is you know what? Why don't they just list things? The internet's making me read. You know, I don't like that. But after Kirk Cousins, let's see here. Will Clint beat me to this is a really good question. Sean Mannion is the number two quarterback. So there's that. I believe that's a long time ago former Virginia Tech Hokie.
There you go. I'd take Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, who's going to play hard. So if you're a betting man, bet the Saints tonight. Take the 3 points.
I want to see, speaking of preseason games, you've been with me long enough on these shows. We have another daily ritual we do in the 5 o'clock hour. So it's time to throw a little shade, but today it's got a question mark behind it. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. First, I'll issue a quick daily reminder. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. Let them up your patio game in 2019. Again, the website, patiocenter.com, the kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
So again, I tell this story, and I'm asking in the form of, Ruffin, would you throw shade at this? Are you good with it? Last night, the Panthers played the Bears in a preseason game. Ron Rivera, coach of the Panthers, obviously a great Bears player, played on that 85 team. Rivera called a timeout right before halftime, and you might interpret that as trying to ice the Bears kicker. He said very plainly after the game, I know that the Bears have a kicking competition. I actually did that because I wanted to help them. And the head coach on the other side thanked him after the game. Are you cool with that?
How's he helping?
He says, and the other coach agreed, Matt Nagy, that by calling that timeout, they wanted to see how their guy did under pressure, thinking about the kick a little
bit.
Gotcha. How do you feel about that? Neutral?
Good, bad? I think it's great. It's good sportsmanship. Why not?
Okay.
I mean,
just checking on this.
No, it's good sportsmanship. Ron, if you met Ron Rivera, you'd understand.
Well, teach me.
He's a football guy. He's a sportsman. He's a long life Chicago Bear, and he's probably good friends with the coach.
Does he do that if it's just Joe Blow team? If they're playing the Vikings, does he do that?
Knowing Ron, he probably does.
Because
you understand, these coaches are all friends. They've coached together before, or they know each other. You know, they all want to be friends because they may be looking for a job one day.
It's a good point.
Think about that.
It's a really good point.
You don't want to burn any bridges in coaching. I've had a couple of friends that were in it. They burned bridges, and they're out. They're selling insurance.
And there are very few people who can kind of get above the law there. Saban, Sweeney become, you know, a couple of them to where, I mean, hey, if you don't like Nick, you're going, not Nick.
Yeah.
But those are few and far between, to your point.
Yeah, and job in coaching with the money today, it's hard to get into. I mean, when I was, you know, earlier, they didn't make any money. It was like, you know, getting into coaching was like getting into dentistry in Tuscaloosa. There are none. You could just make it. And
there are no dentists in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and
that's the true throwing shade portion of the segment.
And you know, it's today when Nick Saban started making $1 million at LSU and all the salaries went up. You got some influx of coaches.
God, I remember that.
Yeah,
1.2 million
in the year 2000. When they started getting paid like that, everybody wanted to be a coach.
I remember there were people, and not just angry professors, liberal professors, LSU. I remember there were people in the business community, you probably do too, that thought Emmert was crazy for that.
I was a friend of Mark, so I trusted him, and he was a big believer. He was one of the first ones I ever talked to that football drives the university. And not financially, but for better students, people want
to,
yeah, absolutely. And look at Alabama, what they're doing with, you know, with Saban and all these students, all these valedictorians want to go there, and it's a great system. And Ed's trying to do the same thing.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll take our final break in the hour. Clint, you don't even have to play the shade music. Everybody knows what time it is in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be right back in to finish the show. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
You're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Time to put a bow on the show. Bumper to Bumper Sports. Yeah, we're back and celebrating life at Ruffino's on the River on 1037 The Game. Ben Love. Be joined momentarily by Ruffin Rodrigue, and I do want to touch – here we go, Ruffin's back in, and I want to touch a little bit. You mentioned it one of the last few Mondays that we were yapping away as we do in the 5 o'clock hour. The lobster experience is back in August, and there's a 3-for-30 menu. You're just not going to find this anywhere else.
No, it's a great deal. It's not a deal. It's just the food is off the charts, and it's lobster. It's fresh live Maine lobster that we steam and we make we put into these dishes that are just phenomenal. So yeah, for $30 you can come in and you know you can have a bottle of wine for $40. You can as a couple you come in for under $100 and have a great meal. And it's just overall a great value in the summertime. School's back in. A lot of people wrote some big checks for school and they're looking at their budget and they just want to go out for dinner and not spend so much, but also want the luxury of having great service and a white tablecloth, which Ruffino's provides. There's not a whole lot of Lafayette restaurants do. The majority are great, and they're great restaurants, but they're all casual fried seafood places. And that's what we bring here is just that element of that great service. And
by the way, what's behind us?
The view of the river, the bartender, the bar view, and the bartenders are fantastic. Everything about it. So, it's a look. There's not a better, and I know I own it and all that, but if I didn't, I would still say it's the best restaurant I think anywhere because of all the total package of it is just. I'm so happy to be in Lafayette with it. It's not a better place for the people. People of Lafayette are just second to none. Progressive city and fun, and they've embraced us, and you know, it's awesome.
And from what you've told me, we all need to be thankful to Jamie Howard.
Jamie and Catherine Howard and Hunter. I mean, Walker. Walker begged me when he was a little kid. Now he's going to be a big superstar. But Jamie and Catherine just, you know, and Jamie especially just said, man, we have nowhere to go in Lafayette to call our own. We need Ruffino's there. And that was a big part of why we came. I really respect Jamie a lot and Catherine. And, you know, it's so sad that we lost her. But we're going to be announcing some stuff, I think. I'm going to give – hopefully we get some charitable stuff in her name going pretty soon. She's one of the most special people I've ever met. It's a big loss, but we can use it to help others, hopefully.
And you know we're here, ready to help in an instant. The other thing I always remember, as you've told me this story, the place almost wasn't named Ruffino's on the River. You almost went right to their favorite, not entree, but appetizer.
Yeah, well, that was, That was Kevin Craig, my cousin. He, crazy Kevin, man. Everybody knows him. Goatee, long hair, ponytail. Wears some snap-on twos, you know, just the greatest guy in the world. But he would come to Baton Rouge, and he would order crab meat cheesecake as an appetizer. He would order two for an entree, and he would take two as a dessert. That's all he'd eat. And, you know, crab meat cheesecake is the most – the absolute – one of the most special appetizers you'll ever eat. It's savory. It's cheesecake, I know, is a dessert, but it's a savory with five different cheeses and the jumbo lump crab meat and the hollandaise sauce and the meniere. It's just that good. And we were going to call it – I was going to call it crab meat cheesecake just because it was so good. I know all the customers that would drive to Baton Rouge to come dine with us just would all rave on the crab meat cheesecake. So, but when I saw the river, it was just it was a no-brainer.
And everything has taken off since that point. I'll give a slice to everyone who just joined us. The news of the day around South Louisiana on the LSU side of things, Joe Burrow not at Tigers practice. Ruffin mentioned that there is going to be a scrimmage tomorrow in Tiger Stadium. We'll see if he's back at that point, or if it's Miles Brennan getting some reps with the ones on the UL side of things. Dual bouts of good news. Braden Hawkins, 6'4", 225, a transfer to UL. Originally he was at UTEP, went to a JUCO, and now Billy Napier's got him. And earlier today he was cleared by the NC2A, eligible to play this season. The other bit of good news, long term, this will be even better. How about Trey Amos from Catholic New Iberia, one of the state's best all-around athletes? We had Shea Dixon, my good buddy, on the show earlier this week. He said he thought there was a good chance he'd end up at UL, and he said Amos is unquestionably underranked, if you will. He said he's going to be a steal for whoever gets him, and now Napier got him in the boat.
I mean, it's just a big – it's all about recruiting. It's all about relationships, and that's what this coaching staff is doing. And that's why you're going to see – that's why you saw the team get better and better last year, because of the relationships they built with the team itself. And then now with recruiting, that's how you win. And he's a winner. I can't wait to watch.
Can he create the Alabama version of the Sun Belt? That's what we're going to find out. But Ruffin's right. First step to doing that is recruiting. 2019 had the best class in the Sun Belt, one of the top classes in all of Power 5, or Group of 5, excuse me, football. Let me give the total tally now. With Trey Amos of Catholic New Iberia in the fold, Billy Napier and the Cajuns have 15 commits in 2020. They've all come in the last 3 months, basically. They're now the number one class in the Sun Belt, number 72 overall, according to the 247 Sports composite.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, and good evaluators. So don't be shocked that 72 number doesn't even get a little higher once the kids have their senior season and they step it up a little bit, because they evaluate kids as juniors, and they know they're going to get better and be better players. Could be superstars.
That happened a few times with this last class. Kid that's from your neck of the woods, Brandon Lejeune, blows my mind that that's not said Lejeune. It is where I'm from in Baton Rouge. But, I mean, the kid out of E.D. White is fantastic. Notre Dame was looking at him. I'm talking about South Bend Notre Dame. That's a big get.
Yeah, it was huge. And he committed early, and he did not waver from it. You know, a lot of people in the Bayou wanted Coach Ogeron to offer him at LSU, but he you know, it'd have been hard for him to beat out of Darryl Stingley, but at UL, man, he could be an absolute superstar. And he's a hard worker. I know his family, being from Thibodaux, and it's gonna be fun to watch, man. He's gonna be a kind of kid that will put butts in the seats, because he's that fun. He's that much fun to watch.
Well, that plus the $2 beers. I don't know what else you want.
Yeah.
What else you need.
I mean, get in the stadium and pull this team on. I know it's going to be hot some of the games in the early part, but just get in there and do your part to win games.
I did see one bummer, and shame on me. I hadn't put two and two together before the other day. My wife and I, this will be our third year with season tickets for the Raging Cajuns. The opener in Cajun Field is against Liberty and Hugh Freeze. The game literally starts at the exact same time as LSU at Texas. That ain't great.
No, that's tough. But that's just the way it works out, and that'll be a highly watched game on TV. The good thing is you have cell phones that people can watch it.
That's right.
You know, be in the stadium and watch it. So
we've been trying to figure out exactly how we want to play that. It may have to be in a watch ESPN type of situation while having $2 beers and watching live football and Billy Napier.
Yeah, bring your iPad or your –
against Hugh Freeze and Liberty. I mean, I said that earlier, and you did a little double take. Isn't that kind of funny?
I know. I didn't realize Hugh Freeze was back in the swing, man. That's pretty good.
Pretty good for his agent.
Look, he was a good high school coach. He was a good college. He's a good coach. It's just, man, he was thrown into something that when he hired his – he understood the system and just went after it and didn't realize that, man, you can't – some of the players he pulled in at first class, it was just off the chain, getting a receiver out of Chicago to come to Ole Miss. Yeah. You're like, come on. You know, how do you – so the flags went up, and then, you know, when the one kid – and it was bad luck with the one kid at the draft.
It's basically how a lot of people feel about LSU basketball and Will Wade.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. Yeah, no, I understand. You know, Will's got a long way to go to get respect back. You know, but if he continues recruiting and he doesn't need to do whatever happened with that, then people are going to respect him even more, hopefully.
Yeah, he's got that opportunity.
Because he's not going to tell you, he can't do it anymore because he's under the gun.
I don't know that this could have gone any better than it did, man. This was a lot of fun today. Josh Fontenot, Lynn Rollins joined us. Got a text from Lynn after. See, he's breaking the mold there. I said he doesn't text you back. He just calls you. He texted and said that was a lot of fun. Didn't know Ruffin was going to be there. What a blast. So we'll get him back in here one of these Fridays.
Yeah, love to see him.
And so we got to thank everybody for listening in. Wine by the glass has been half off for the duration of the show. I don't know how much it costs when I'm done, but I'm going to have some. My wife is here. We've got some friends. We're going to have a good time by the river. You can come see Ruffin and I if you get a chance. Thanks for sticking around, man.
Absolutely, man. It was fun.
All right, we got to throw it to the Astros because we love those 75-40 Houston Astros. They are on a roll, and they'll look to keep it going next against the Baltimore Orioles over in Camden Yard. So for the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll catch you Monday at 4 on 103.7 The Game.